Good morning and welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew. And today, co-host Kyle Michalowski and myself discuss the highs and lows of bowling. I know we've all been there before where, you know, sometimes you just feel like the pocket is 10 feet wide. And sometimes you feel like you're just walking a tightrope wire. So we go over a couple tournaments in which we both had done well in the past couple weeks, cashed and finished in second place. And we go over a tournament in which we both struggled. That was at the Suncoast. So we will break them down and hope you guys enjoy. Okay, so we are back. We are here. I'm with Kyle. How's it going, Kyle?
Good. How are you?
It's going pretty good. I'm kind of getting used to my 9 to 5, as they say, and the schedule and that. And I'm getting used to waking up early about 4 a.m. So for the past 2 weeks, that's kind of been my focus. But we're here to talk about bowling today. Talk about a couple different tournaments that we have participated in the past, I'd say, week or 10 days or so. And just our thoughts, the patterns, how we finish, and just I think that's really what we're going to have. And we're going to have a couple guests as well, a couple friends from Bedrock. They should be joining us at some point. But to jump right into things, the tournament that I last participated in and we wanted to go over was with my friends from the Bedrock community, Mr. Fred Joseph Smith and Mr. Andrews Foran. Mr. Barney, we finished second place at the Balls and Babes event. It was on a short pattern, the Rhino pattern. And, you know, our game plan going into it, the guys, they didn't have much rest. I know they traveled in from California the night before, and they had like 4 hours of sleep. And I remember Fred Joseph, he came up to me and just said, you know, the plan of attack today is just to play your own game. And it's focused on what you can do well, and we're all just going to support each other and have good vibes. And, you know, from that moment on, I knew we were going to have a good day regardless of how we bowled. There was really no pressure. Me personally, I had a lot of good preparation going into the week. Practiced at the Gold Coast on Monday night, so just getting that everyday feel of sport pattern in the mix. Worked on my spares as well that week. So I felt confident going in. The guys, they started off hot. They were shooting in the 230s, 40s, and 50s, I remember. They were on point. And I was nowhere near that, clearly. But I was doing well, I would say. I was picking up all my spares. I wasn't striking as much as I'd like to. I shot a 200 game in there. But I think my average overall was like in the high 180s. High 170s, 180s. So somewhere in that range. So I was happy with the showing. I think the team that finished in first, they were well above us. So a well-deserved first place win for those guys. But my takeaway from that particular tournament was, if you just focus on what you can do well and really have a good team chemistry vibe, that's really something that I like, and I like to, you know, enjoy when I'm having a team tournament and team event, versus like overly thinking things. And there's been times where I've in the past done that, and we'll talk about another event that's a team event in a little bit. But I just knew that there was really nothing to worry about other than the basics, you know, pick up your spares, understand the transition. And we were just having fun. Honestly, we were having fun. We were laughing. And at the end of the day, I think that's a part of what bowling is about. You know, it's fun to compete, but it's also fun to have. It's nice to have fun while you compete. So, Kyle, I know you didn't bowl in the Balls and Babes tournament. Was there a tournament around that time that you bowled in that you'd like to kind of go over with your thoughts and such?
Yeah, you invited me over to the JV invite tournament, and I went and bowled there. I bowled pretty well, actually. I got a secondary invite because they had like a tournament of champions thing that they had on top of it. So if you bowled top five or something, or it was top six, would all get an invite per squad, I think, or something like that. But I got the invite for the thing. I came in fifth for the tournament. I bowled pretty well. I definitely left a lot out there, but I'm definitely feeling like there's a foundation in my game that's starting to emerge. So, like, instead of it just being like I'm fishing all the time for some kind of thing, it's kind of like now I kind of got some ground under me. So now I can start going and building upon it instead of just kind of roaming around trying to find anything that I can and hope that I run stumble into something. It's more like I have something and let me use it and I can go from it and go around it, but I have something to start with and it's allowing me to start competing better at the tournaments, and which allowed me to put some work in at the JV tournament. And so I did end up getting fifth, and that was I was pretty happy with that. I left some out there, but I think that comes with a little bit of polishing and building on that foundation. But I'm definitely happy with what happened there.
What would you say, you might have gone over, but what was like the main thing that you would say has been the big reason of like your emergence of your foundation? Like what has been the number one thing you've been focusing on lately in the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
Just a few people have been talking to me and saying that I need to become my own bowler instead of listening to what everyone else has to say. And I've been playing with things that I've used in the past, and some of them have been helpful and some of them have been hurtful. And I've just been dissecting what I like, what I don't like, and just cutting the fat basically and removing all the stuff that I don't like. And then seeing what things that I didn't like in the past that may be apply now, which started feeling better, and seeing if they were worth keeping again. And it felt like I'm allowed, like the things that like are going into my game, like aiming and stuff like that, the points when I change everything, it they always change up. But like now that I'm settling into where I need to be, those points are starting to be consistent, and I'm able to start doing the same things over and over again. And my ball reaction is being more consistent, and it's allowing me to make moves correctly instead of I make a move and then I'm like lost, and then I make another move and then I'm extra lost. And now it's just more cohesive. Everything's starting to click.
Sure. No, it's like the way I kind of, with me and my newness to the game, like I feel like it's a puzzle to me. And the way, like you toss out a big old box of puzzle pieces and you start sorting the corners and you try to figure out your own puzzle while taking in the information and the obvious stuff. But like, you don't really know what the puzzle's going to look like until you really sort through all the pieces. And there are so many different pieces that, since I've known you, I know that you've worked through in your game. And this is already after you've already established yourself as a well-known bowler in town and a consistently good bowler, as above the high, above the average standard, I would say for sure. So the fact that just in the short time that I've known you, you've been looking at your game and trying to pick it apart meticulously, that's gonna lead to the like kind of roller coaster of okay, this worked, this didn't work, this worked, this didn't work. But like you said, once you then can cut out the fat and go through that process, I think that's why, again, to your point, you're starting to see the consistency of your process starting to work and not just being satisfied, And I think you're one of those few people that I know that regardless of how good your scores are or how good your tournament are growing, you're still hungry for always wanting to improve. And I think that's it right there. That's the ingredient. You can't lose sight of that. You got to keep at it. I know I bowled in the JV tournament as well. This is the theme of the podcast is the ups and downs of bowling. And so far we've talked about a couple good stories. Kyle making the tournament of champions. That's is that this weekend? No, it's in next weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, it will be next weekend.
Okay, I was gonna say, wow. Well, if it's this weekend, I'm not planning well. So that's next weekend. And the buy-in, I believe, is $100. First place is $3,000. Second place is like 1500 or something like that. So it pays out pretty well. It's going to be a lot of good bowlers. Obviously, it's all people that have won or have finished in the top three or, five in all the tournaments all year. It will be on a house shot, I believe, right? So that is something that I do want to prep for. I don't practice on house that often, but I'd say for the next week or two, oops, my alarm's going off. I would say for like the next week or two, if we can get over to the Wildfire and do the old discounted rate late, or actually not late, but maybe like a Friday night or just whenever we can fit it in, I want to get familiarized and just kind of get comfortable there. You're down with that.
Yeah, definitely, 'cause we need to get pretty sharp. Luckily, Wildfire is a little consistent about how it plays. Only thing is, though, for some reason, the tournament, it doesn't play anything like the actual house shot, so it's kind of weird.
Really? Okay. That's good to know. So, yeah, like back to the tournament that you did well in. I was in that same tournament, but I was in the first squad. And this is where, like, after the Balls and Vapes win, started a new work schedule, took a little bit off the practice routine, felt sharp, still felt like I had acquired all my skills I've done in the past year and a half bowling. So I didn't think, it'd be detrimental to not practice for a couple days or a week. And then I rolled into the tournament, the Wildfire. First game was like a 165, second game was like 200, 210 or something like that. So I'm like, all right, feeling pretty good. I actually went outside. It was a nice day out. Had food. Like I had all the de check marks checked, but man, that third game destroyed me. And the way I handled that, the struggles of the third game, that's what I think led to another downfall for that next week of bowling. So that third game, I get a split first frame, split second frame. And I'm like, man, all I had to do was just like bowl a 160, bowl a 170 to be okay. And I'm just from two splits, I'm already overthinking the entire game, instead of just getting back right onto what had been working well the entire time. Then miss spares. So I started to kind of melt within myself, and I just wasn't comfortable, honestly, that last game. And I was really far left, but I was landing 10 boards right. So even though I was starting left, I was drifting back to the middle of the lane. And I was like, man, I got to figure this out here because everyone at, I was with Hatchett and Kendall and Jesse Williams. And like, there was a lot of bowlers, and they were all saying that it was dry from the get go. So the fact that I'm way left, I'm not comfortable that far left, and I'm not executing mechanically, that was a big reason why I just screwed up that game. And that's where the fork in the road happened of like, okay, you have an option. You kind of blew it last game. You didn't cash in this particular tournament, but it was like a what, $30, $40, $50, something like that. Fun tournament. Wasn't too stressed about it, but I was more upset that it was within my grasp to cash and do well and just to let it float away. That kind of bothered me. And instead of ironing out the frustration and going to like work on those things, I proceeded to not do it. And I think for me, I don't know if this rings a bell with you or other bowlers, but if I'm off my routine, practicing my spares, knowing where I'm going to be bowling, having a game plan, even if it's like a placebo effect, I lose the confidence that I think I'm going to do well. And so I don't know if that agrees with you or if you feel just confident everywhere you go, but go ahead.
So for me, it's how I handle that is I try to keep the routine up, but like sometimes it just doesn't happen. And it all depends on how things have been going. If things have been like pretty rough, I try to step it up a little bit, put my foot on the gas and just get in there, put more games in and just try to figure out what is the problem. And other times when I put my foot on the gas, it doesn't really Yeah, and that's where it kind of comes down to that foundation thing, is now I'm hoping I have that foundation now. And now going from that, it'll be a lot easier to do exactly what I want to do. Whereas without it, I kind of was just like the same thing, just floating around, not understanding why I'm not doing well. And whether I put the time in or not, it wasn't really changing anything. But the more time you put in is good, but it has to be focused on the right things, because obviously if you're just not narrowing down onto certain problems, then you just kind of aren't really progressing in what needs to happen. And that's the tricky part about bowling, is there's so many variables, like your leverage, your speed, the ball, the surface on your ball, all that stuff. One little thing could be off and you just don't realize it, and it could throw off your whole game. And that's why you have to kind of build that foundation so you can catch what's off as quickly as possible, so you can adjust and give yourself a chance to make a run at whatever you're bowling, instead of just kind of throwing darts and hoping it sticks.
No, absolutely. And like, for me, I would say the thing that in the past year, I've practiced the most consistently is spares. And when I get off that routine, even for a week or two, those spares look a lot different to my eyes, to my brain. Like, so I guess what I'm getting at is, in a roundabout way, I had two tournaments after a successful tournament where I thought, oh, I'll always be able to pick up spares. I've ingrained it in my brain to know where to stand and know how to do it. But clearly it helps me to just have, it's like batting practice. It's how I kind of see it in my brain. Like, if I go to a baseball game and I just show up and I'm in the batter's box, I just feel cold, versus if I had an hour or 2 hours that week, or prior to the game, to get some swings in. So the cleanup and the fix that I was going to do going forward is just to make sure that, and I even know you were doing this on Mondays, the sports patterns, you just kept saying, I want to shoot spares, I'm shooting spares. And I don't think I shot any that day. Little things like that, even someone as good as you still are, you putting a high precedence on how important spares are. And it just reminded me in this past 10 plus days how important they are, especially for someone who wants to get better. There's really no bad time to practice your spares. So that's kind of just what I'm reminding myself.
Yeah, because if you look at it this way, if you make all your spares, every single spare that you leave, the worst you're going to average is 190, maybe 180 in like some weird way, roundabout way. But that's saying if you pick them all up, including splits, which obviously splits are not always easy to pick up. Especially like 7-10 or something like that, where it's basically not going to happen. But if you look at it that way, then if you manage to make yourself pick up all the makeables, and then try not to leave the splits, then you're going to average 200, and hopefully you get a few strikes in there, and then you're looking hot. As long as you can do that, you're able to compete with basically everyone. But that's the thing, is you have to do that, and then from there all you have to do is try to get a few more strikes, and then you're able to go beat the best in the world. But it's just about putting those basic things have to be there, because if you miss one spare, it's 10 pins, and then depending on where it is, it could be more. And so, like, that's a huge thing, because spares can throw off your game. If it was like the scoring system was different and it didn't rely on stringing strikes and not opening, there would be a different story. Spares wouldn't matter as much. But spares really do matter how the scoring format is. And you have to try not to open as much as possible. And your scores are going to go up through that.
Well, like on the point of this spares and consistency, like I think for me personally, it's because I put my thumb in the ball for my spares. And if I don't put my thumb in the ball for a week or two, it feels very odd because all the other times I'm holding with two hands or no thumb. So more reason to maybe just start practicing doing my spares with two hands. Again, that's one of those, doesn't matter how you pick it up, just pick it up. Yeah. But this is me sorting out the, okay, what is the best and most consistent way for me to do it? And, you know, I've been focusing a lot on two hands. I've been focusing a lot on my drift. I've been focusing a lot on a lot of other things, but definitely spares have just been like that's a check mark. I got that one in the bag, and nope, there's a lot of spares that I missed though. So back to the drawing board on that. Regards, because again, it's not something that's not going to take me a lifetime to figure out, but it's going to take me a lifetime to stay consistent with it. So I just have to have a good relationship with the spares and know that they're always going to be there. So just have to confidently get comfortable with shooting every single one.
Mm-hmm. And then, so going into the Anchor Girl trios that we bowled, what did you learn from that tournament?
So this was the tail end of that week of really not having any practice, really just getting my work schedule together. And the main thing I learned is that was a new lane. I don't think I've ever bowled the Sun Coast. It was at the Sun Coast. It was the TNBA tournament. It was in the afternoon, 2 o'clock. I'm a morning person. I felt kind of not jazzed up. I felt a little bit more tired, more than I am usually am. And other than that, if I don't have a pre-week routine, the last time I had touched a bowling ball was Monday, and that tournament was on a Saturday. If I go a week without touching a bowling ball, it feels very uncomfortable. But if I get like 2 or 3 days in the bowling alley that week, even if it's placebo, I feel great going into whatever tournament I'm bowling. It doesn't matter if it's sport or house. So comfortability matters. Knowing your lanes matters. You guys all bowled great. I know Patricia was bowling with a cast on, and she bowled great first game. And then I think her arm started to tight up second game, but she bowled great overall. She beat me, scratch. And you bowled great. You were bowling like 220s, 230s the whole time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the first games where I started feeling that foundation. Like I was able to do the things that I needed to do where I could consistently have my ball reaction correctly. And the only thing that cost me shooting a really big set was just the lanes. One lane was tighter, one lane hooked more, and I just had to be on top of the speed control for what I was throwing. I probably could have thrown a different ball and had a little bit more miss room, but I felt that ball was close. So I didn't really want to switch out of it.
And which ball was this again? Which ball?
The Idle Helios.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it was just one lane I had to throw it faster, one lane I had to throw it slower. And I got to get a little better at when I throw it slower, not decelerating, which is why when I did throw it slower on the left lane, it went high a few times because I would decelerate and then it would hook up. But if I threw it slow and threw it how I was supposed to, it went right there and struck. So it was just about keeping that on pace, and unfortunately I wasn't as sharp as needed to be, but like I'm not gonna complain about the scores that I shot on that. And it definitely felt like a foundation was building, because normally I'm just terrible on house, but that is that's higher than I've been shooting on house recently. And so hopefully I can keep that up and get that going and build on it.
Yeah. In short, if I were to improve off of that or that performance and just try to do that tournament over again, the two things I would do is I would either go to the Suncoast or the Wildfire, stand at the 30 dot and see how many times I could land at the 30 dot and loft it out and just kind of just focus more on my land. Like I would do that for a week leading up to the tournament, knowing that those lanes played so dry from the get-go that if I don't feel comfortable left and I'm just drifting back to the right, might as well just be rolling it between my legs, you know what I mean? Because I'm not seeing the targets correctly and I'm not executing the shot correctly. So that would be my thing I would improve going forward for me. But yeah, you crushed it. You did well. I was proud of the team. Even though I did not do that well, I know the team vibe was pretty up. And there was a team to our right. I don't know. Do you know who won the tournament?
Have no clue. I after we finished, I just headed out and didn't even think about scores or anything because I knew we weren't close just because of how high scores looked to be. It's an unfortunate thing. That's one of the reasons I don't like house is because scores just go through the roof and can't really compete, especially if people are getting handicapped on top of that. It's just hard to battle it out unless if everyone's firing on all cylinders. I don't know what needed to be shot.
Yeah, no, it was definitely one of those tournaments for the room for improvement and try to just learn from it as far as just myself goes. But and even yourself, you learn something from it while doing well. So that's why we do these tournaments. That's why we get in them. And obviously, the goal is to win. But like, there's ways you can improve through the loss, and not everyone usually sees it like that. That's something that I've had to like learn from other sports and just. From this sport particularly, like you got to take the loss like a man and learn from it versus just complain about a thousand different things, like, and work it out. That's the best recipe for getting back on track is literally going and just, you know, on Monday night we were back at it. I felt so great, you know, back to on the positive end of things. Like I felt so great because I finally like felt a click within when I'm dropping my arm down and having it go a little bit lower. Like it's okay that it's a little higher at first, but something clicked where I started striking. I thought that's usually when I figure things out is when I get to that grind moment of like two, three, four, five games deep. And
You
you
get in
start
the zone.
you get in the zone, you start firing, nothing around you. At least this is how I view it. You know, nothing around me. I don't really pay attention to it as much. I'm just zoned in on what I'm doing. And it takes effort. Obviously, that was after a work day. We both worked that day and tired and hungry. And it's not easy to put yourself in that zone, but it's worth it as what I'm learning, because the more times you can tap into that zone for yourself, when you figure things out, it becomes a habit. And then you show up and you do well in tournaments. So that was my takeaway from this past Monday. I don't know if there was anything you want to talk about from the sport pattern.
Oh, I just was focusing on what I talked about earlier and just building upon everything.
Perfect. Well, I think that's everything we wanted to talk about.
One thing I want to note for you to
Go ahead.
edit. When I said that we were bowling higher than them scratch, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think we were as a team. So if you could you just edit that part out?
Okay, got it.
Because
About the other team.
I don't want to sound like a dick or something saying, oh,
No.
we're bowling higher than scratch.
I
And
gotcha.
we didn't even do that.
I gotcha. Other team will be.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah. Sounds good. And then you add in Fred and Barney talk with you tomorrow. Hopefully I can make it. But otherwise, me and you were both on this, and then you add them at the end, and perfect.
Perfect. So hold on, let me round it out. Yeah, I think that's all we wanted to cover in this one. Thanks, Fred and Barney, for coming and joining us and talking about a couple things. The next tournament that we have on tap, I believe, I don't know if you're doing this. I assume you are because you're the ABT champion. Are you doing ABT this Saturday?
I am not. I'm going to
Wow.
be doing some work on Saturday, but I will be bowling the Balls and Babes scratch on Sunday.
Okay, perfect. Well, maybe that's my opportunity to go grab me a little win at the $500 one, but I like the Santa Fe and I am off Saturday, so I might go and check it out. But good luck this Sunday. Give them hell. I think you'll be ready. You're in the zone. So until next time, we'll be talking about those tournaments. Hope everyone has a good night.
All right. Thank you. Good
All
night.
right, later. Hey guys, thanks for making it all the way to the end if you took the time to listen. This podcast is something special to me that it really just allows me to kind of mind dump a lot of the things that either I'm experiencing in the moment or kind of recapping just how the weekend went. So appreciate you taking the time to listen. We'll be doing these once a week. So until you hear from us next week, have a good week.